privilege is essentially an advantage that a social advantage that someone gets from something that they didn't necessarily earn through their own actions. So, for example, I definitely have white privilege. I have educational privilege. I was raised in a Christian household, so I have religious privilege. Most people have some sort of privilege. And it's really two sides of the same coin, that we can have privilege and oppression depending on what our different identities have in terms of what that social power brings them.
It feels often that there can be defensiveness when we use the term privilege. So how can people recognize their own privilege and then use that to reduce prejudice?
That's an excellent question. And from my own experience and from what I've seen doing this work and working with therapy clients, is that it's not a fun process. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I remember when I first started learning the terms privilege, I got very angry and defensive myself. And I remember thinking, like, is this person saying that I didn't earn these grades that I have, that I didn't earn the things that I have in my life? And that's not it at all. It's just making sure that we're recognizing that for some of us, we have to work harder to get those same things. And so a really great metaphor that I love to use is actually by a man named John Scalzi, who has a website where he talks about having privilege in a video game context, that having more privilege is like playing the same video game on campaign mode, but on easy setting, versus a person who might be a transgender woman of color who immigrated from a country that's currently in war to the United States. That person would be playing the same campaign mode, but on a much harder difficulty level. And so it's a really, really excellent description of how privilege can affect us on small day-to-day basis, and then also in really big, grand sweeping gestures.
How can people who know what privileges they have, how can that then be leveraged to make a more socially just society?
The research that I've done is on interpersonal action of when you're in a space, maybe with friends, or you're at work, or you're at a family gathering, and someone says something that you know that you can recognize as prejudice against a different group of people. So I'm talking about how to get white people to stand up against racism, how to get men to stand up against sexism directed at women, because men are targeted with sexism too, just in a different way. How to get straight identified people to stand up against homophobia and biphobia, against cisgender people to stand up against transphobia, and the list just goes on. And really what's the big part is using our privilege in those moments to say, that's not okay. When you said that, it sounded, you know, racist, prejudiced, sexist, homophobic, whatever the situation calls for. And if it's possible to educate the person, in the research, the person is who says the prejudiced thing or does the prejudice action is called the perpetrator. Which is a harsh word, I understand, but to be able to say, hey, person who said this thing, that sounded prejudiced, and, you know, here's an explanation of why. And the reason is that the research shows that when a person who has privilege confronts a prejudice directed at someone else, it's much more likely to start the person who said the thing that was prejudiced, to get them to either change their actions or to change their own thought process. Like, there's a whole psychological loop that starts to happen when we confront them, where they actually start to confront themselves in their own heads before they say anything. So confronting prejudice, there's so much research that shows that this is there's a huge power amount here that we aren't tapping into, I don't think. Not in the way that we could be tapping into it. This huge amount of power that people with privilege have to stop prejudice from happening to other people. So really, it's when you see something, say something to that person and stand up. That's really the bottom line, is we have to be standing up and making ourselves feel uncomfortable, because no one likes to do that, to do a confrontation. I'm from the Midwest. We do not like confronting in the Midwest. And so it's really standing up and making yourself uncomfortable for the better of the betterment of other people.
Are there ways to replicate this into group scenarios, either teach it in schools or to just change attitudes in society?
Yeah, there's a huge potential for training programs to not just teach the more dry parts of confronting in terms of like the research behind it and specific strategies, but to encourage that empathy, that perspective taking, because there's loads of research that talks about how when we have a deeper connection with someone of a target group, of a more oppressed identity, and we get to know this person and what their experience is like, we are much more likely to stand up when we see prejudice directed at that particular group. So really, empathy is the first part. And then living by example is a huge, huge, huge aspect of that. And I'm remembering one of my participants in my thesis study, where I was studying this, talked about when she was a substitute teacher, she heard one student yell a derogatory word at another student, that she said it gave her a visceral reaction even 10 years later when we were doing this interview. She was still having a physical reaction to how upset she was at hearing this word. And she immediately stood up and said, that word is not acceptable. Go to the principal's office. They'll be waiting for you. And then talk to the students about why that word is not okay. And again, providing the education, because some people just don't know that what they're saying is prejudice. We all say things that upset other people. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It just means we have to learn to try to do better in the future. And that's all anyone can really ask. And I think that defensiveness that you were mentioning earlier around the word privilege comes from the idea that if I said something wrong, I am wrong, which they're totally different ideas. And being able to recognize that and say, okay, I messed up this one time, but that doesn't mean I'm a bad person. And now I know better next time. And being able to model that for younger generations is a huge part of that as well.